Building a company from nothing is freaking hard. Us entrepreneurs are expected to deal with unimaginable challenges and somehow keep a cool head through it all. This is The Art of Entrepreneurship, and I'm your host, Jackie Hermes. I grew my company, Excelity, from 0 to 7 figures with no partners and no funding. The Art of Entrepreneurship is a show where we cut through the BS and dig into what it actually takes to start and grow a company. If you give me your time, I promise it won't be wasted. Now let's get to work.
Hello and welcome back to The Art of Entrepreneurship. You all have heard, I think, what is probably pretty standard startup advice now. Move fast, scale, raise money, increase headcount, delegate. But what if that advice that everyone is really doling out is what's holding you back? This is what my guest today, Safir Qureshi, and I get into. He started his first business at 14, and he built SPG Media into one of Toronto's top production companies. Now he runs a company called CodeStack Capital, where he backs and builds ventures across a number of different industries, including aviation, AI, insurance, and medtech. Safir believes that you should simplify until it hurts. I thought that this was a really interesting phrase that we dig into because a lot of us really hide behind the complex instead of taking the simplest path so that we can move forward and gain traction. We get into lots of different topics, but back to the top, why that advice often leads you astray, how to strip your ideas down into what actually matters, and why clarity beats credentials and talent every single time. All right. Thank you so much, Safir, for being here, and let's get into it.
Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start here. You have built your reputation doing really the opposite of classic business advice. I'd love to set the table by giving an example of what does that look like? What is a story that you can tell or an example of that?
I think that a lot of traditional business advice is muddled because everybody is kind of copy pasting the same thing. I mean, I can give you countless examples, but one thing that I can talk about is, you know, people want to talk about this like minimum viable product, right? They build this MVP. I call it the MVP, the maximum billable product, right? A lot of people are like, how do we perfect it in the market before we launch it? And before, you know, there's so many limitations to that. I look at it as, how can we get somebody to pay for it now, right? Like, what do we do now? And a lot of people are like, no, we don't want to put revenue because it puts a valuation on the business and people are going to start calculating it this way. And I said, well, we need money. Well, what are you going to do? Raise more and give more equity? And that's just one of the ways that, you know, like I've seen people limit themselves using traditional beliefs. A great example of that is I was watching a video one time, and that's where it kind of really did open up my mind, where Jeff Bezos was saying, you know, the stock was going down, but we were doing really good in profits. And I realized that the stock is not the product and the company, and the company is not the stock. And if you look at it from a traditional perspective, you might have disagreed and you might have said, well, no, if the stock is doing bad or if this is doing good or whatever it may be. And I found that a lot of these traditional rules with a broad brush, and if you really get into these like 5-year plans and the, you know, like I have to do everything that my MBA taught me, it's more limiting than it is freeing.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into MBAs later. I definitely want to know your thoughts on that. But when we talk about like that playbook and that same advice that everyone's given, the idea that, I mean, I think a lot of mentors give very similar advice, right? You need to raise money, which can be a fit for a lot of businesses. It's not a fit for every single company. You need to hire a bunch of people. You need to delegate. Why do you think that founders cling so tightly to this playbook, even when sometimes it doesn't fit their business?
I think it's because that's what everybody else is saying, right? Yeah. I don't necessarily think this is a lie, but if you repeat a lie enough times, it becomes the truth. It becomes, you know, everybody's just going to start believing it. I say, you know, when people say, what do? I say, keep doing something different until it works, and then do it over and over and over again until it doesn't work, and then do something different, right? Because it's in business, it's not one size fits all. Now, a lot of traditional advice, whether it's raising money, you know, getting capital, whether it's, hey, well, you need to do marketing. And that's just baseline. It's just like me saying, I need to start a business. And I say, okay, well, go get your articles of incorporation, right? You need to get those. And you go, okay, what else, right? It's not that it's completely wrong. It's just that there's so many different ways of doing it. You start a business, you need marketing, you need customers, you need customer service, all of that. But me, I'm a very like profit first guy. How do I make money today? And if you actually start asking yourself that question, what is the fastest way for me to make profit right now? Doesn't matter how much it is. What is the fastest way I can get customers to pay me today? You will automatically come to realize that a lot of this traditional advice, you will just not be following, right? You ask that question, which is what, like a lot of people want to build a $1 billion business. Great, me too. I want $100 million in the bank account. But what can I do to build a cash cow today? That's what I'm good at, building cash cows. What could I do to get an extra 10K a month, 5K a month in my bank account today, and then move on to the next thing? People are way too busy trying to get to that big $1 billion valuation, or trying to make it big, or, you know, now there's that hustle culture where I want the Lambo, I want the private jets, I want everything. And that's the goal they're after. And they just follow a lot of these people that are telling them, you know, they have actually made it, but this is what I call the curse of knowledge. Some of them will actually tell you, hey, this is where you start, but a lot of them don't remember. A lot of them are already so big where they'll give you advice that fits them, but doesn't fit you. Yeah. And that's where it kind of gets lost. But if you ask yourself, what can I do to start making money today, start making profit today, you'll come to see how many of those rules you're actually breaking.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that the Lambo has become like the symbol of, you know, like the Instagram success. And yeah, you absolutely might be successful, right? I once knew a guy that would rent them in different cities and like drive them around. And like, yeah, that's fun. And like, you don't own it. So like taking the pictures and putting them on social with the inspirational captions is maybe you got to ask yourself
your values. What is more important to you? Is it, you know, validation from other people?
Yeah.
If it is, then maybe you want to be an Instagram model, not a business person, right? If it's taking care of your family, hey, listen, I've owned a few Lambos, right? Yeah. I've done the whole thing. And once you actually reach that, sometimes, you know, once you reach that point, you start realizing that, okay, like I've had my fun. I've had, you know, and some people just keep pushing and keep going. And it's, you got to realize what really matters to you. Is it family? Is it your freedom? Is it just not being in an office? And work towards that. If you're working towards the flex, you will end up renting that Lambo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Working toward the flex. I love that. I read somewhere that you said that founders hide behind complexity. And I definitely subscribe to that. I think that a lot of founders and even companies I talk to prospecting, they spend so long planning and thinking about something and saying like, it's so hard, it's so complex, that often they can't see a simple path that's in front of them that can be the path that moves them forward quickly and efficiently. Tell me what the phrase simplify until it hurts means. And what does that actually look like when you're building something?
Jackie, I like to say I'm always the dumbest person in the room. And if I'm not the dumbest person in the room, I like to make myself as dumb as possible and try to learn something from everybody in the room. Yeah. And that's because I'm actually not that smart. I work with a lot of very, very smart people, world-class smart people, and they are able to understand things that I can never even begin to imagine. But when they explain them to me, I don't pretend to understand. I don't go, and way too many people pretend to understand and they parrot. Right? They don't actually know what's going on. They learn a few words, they learn a few things here and there, and they don't quite literally get what the purpose of, you know, a certain thing might be. And for me, I like to simplify so much that I understand, right? And I'm not afraid to look dumb because I already go in with that mentality of I am dumb. Like, I'm just going to learn. Like, there's nothing, you can't hurt somebody who is just going in and say, yeah, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again? Can you repeat that again? In school, we're taught, don't ask, you know, the same question three times. I'll ask the same question 30 times in a different way. And I'll say, sorry, guys, please, you know, forgive my ignorance, forgive my stupidity. And this is the thing. When you remove complexity, you remove this fear, because a lot of people think that, oh, it's so complicated and we need more time. I promise you, almost every process that I've been given has taken less time than they originally told me. where it's like, okay, it's going to take this much, but only after I broke it down and understood it myself, right? And if I'm trusting, I'm not saying don't trust the experts, by the way. You should trust the experts. But you need to be able to understand what they're doing, because sometimes they only know how to do a thing a certain way because of how complex it is. I'll give you an example. We were building one of our companies and there was a mapping tool that needed to be integrated. And there were guys that were just sitting there. They're like, it needs to be done like this. It needs to be done like this. And I came down and I'm like, guys, can you explain this to me? Like, I'm dumb. And they're like, well, it needs to be. I kept breaking it down, breaking it down, breaking it down. And that one process, we broke it down into three. And what took 10 seconds took like milliseconds to do, right? And it's not because I knew more than them. It's not because I was smarter than them. It's because I got them to dumb it down so much that their brains, you know, again, it's the curse of knowledge. They know that a process has to be done a certain way. Their brain was able to not see that outside perspective. Yeah. And so simplify till it hurts really just means simplify till you understand. Simplify until it hurts the other person, until they're done explaining. And then you say, can you explain some more? And for me, once you understand a process, you can keep asking, why can't it be done this way, right? A lot of times it's just like this email that's going back and forth, you know, or you can just pick up the phone, call the guy, negotiate, do whatever, and then paper it, right? So simplify, simplify, simplify as much as you can, not just your processes, your words, your, you know, the way that things are being explained to you. And once you actually have that down, again, you will start to understand, you know, by proxy, you will actually be smarter, not just sound smarter.
Yeah. Can you think of a time that simplifying made a really big difference in your success, or like a path that you were on and it took you somewhere else or anything like that?
Yeah, I guess. about 2 months ago, you know, some of my business partners that I work with, they're very busy guys. So, you know, we were going back and forth and we were texting each other and we're saying, okay, we were talking about other stuff, but we're like, okay, there's this contract that we're going back and forth. And I said, Nick, why don't we just get on the phone and solve this? You know, we're going back and forth. The lawyers are involved. And he goes, yeah. Sorry, I'm a little busy. Why don't you do this? I'll get the lawyers to look at this here and then we'll go back and forth. And guess what? By, I don't know, like a month and a half later, we had a $10,000 lawyer bill. And we're looking at it going, wait a second, what just happened here?
Been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I go, dude, I'm calling you right now. We're going through this. Nick, we'll get on the phone. We got on the phone. We solved it. And they go, oh, this could have just been a phone call. And I'm like, yeah. And so if we had gone the traditional route of like, okay, let's go through this. Let's go, you know, let's redline everything. Now you go back and it's like, no, let's just pick up the phone, simplify it, right? Negotiate. And if you agree to those terms, and if you agree that we can word them like this, let's put them down and then just kind of go. We could have saved probably at least $8,000 to $8,500.
Yeah, we are just about to go through the renewal process with a client that we went through a big redlining legal process with last year. So I'm either hoping that what we went through last year stands, or maybe I'll try your pick up the phone strategy and see what happens.
I'm telling you. So, you know, back in the day, people had face-to-face meetings. It was simple, right? And they had phone calls. It was simple. Yeah. And now with this whole, like, everybody's so scared to say anything and everybody's so worried to kind of, should I do it this way? Should I do it that way? I just pick up the phone, call someone, talk to someone. And a lot of times it's not as big or it's not as complicated as it usually is.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, y'all, it's shameless plug time. I want to take a quick break to chat with you about Excelity, my full service marketing agency. For the last 12 years, we've been working closely with B2B software and service companies. Now we are expanding and looking for growth stage companies with a bold vision, but maybe lacking the marketing strategy or resources to get there. Or hey, you might have resources that just aren't working out. We definitely see that all the time. At Excelity, our team gets results and we have a ton of fun doing it. I'm sure you can tell that from listening to this podcast. So if you or someone you know is a fit, check us out at excelitymarketing.com or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn.
So let's get back to the education topic. You touched on the MBA before, and you have built multiple ventures without what you call a traditional background. I definitely think that things are changing now, right? Where you don't necessarily need the degree, the MBA, the certificates. That said, I have an MBA, and I can't say that what I learned was the most helpful thing. I do think that having the MBA, especially when I was younger, helped with credibility. Yeah. And also, I would love to hear your opinion. You know, like, I have kids that are like, I'm going to start a business. I'm not going to college. And I'm still, you know, inside like, ooh, I don't know. Are you going to work hard enough for that? Like, what do you think about this? Are credentials overrated? And if you aren't going to get the credentials, is there anything different that you have to do? Like, what's your opinion?
You know, it's funny because I don't have an MBA. I don't have any, like, I mean, I did marketing in college, right? Yeah. So it's like, I didn't do anything with business. And I did it because my parents are brown. I didn't, for no other reason. They're like, you need to go, you need to finish, and that's it. But I would want my kids, I would force my kids to do something either in business or whatever they wanted to do. I'd force school because I don't want them to go through what I went through. It's the abuse that you have to go through. I started my business when I was 14, right? And nobody wants to take, or nobody will take a 14-year-old seriously, not back in the day. Now, maybe everybody will say, okay, you're hustling, you're doing this, et cetera, et cetera. I really had to figure my way out. Now, I do have a lot of people that work for me that have MBAs. And I do think that the MBA, like, when I need certain processes done and I need certain things to be done, I wouldn't trust anybody else to do it, right? Other than those people. Now, is it because they have MBAs? I can't say for sure, but they definitely got the systems down. They definitely know how to help run and grow my business. Will they be able to do it on their own? I don't know. I'd probably lean towards a no. And that's because I don't think that education is enough. I think it's important, but I don't think it's enough. I think that if you were to choose between experience and education, I would choose experience every single time because that's what really shapes you. But I do think education is important. I never say, you know, like, hey, you shouldn't get education. You shouldn't do this. It's great. But I think now people are starting to understand it better, but I've always been saying this. I think that the MBA or even the bachelor's that you might get in business or whatever you may, you know, get in school, it tells you that this is the objective truth. This is what you have to follow. There's almost like no real objective truth in terms of this is the only way of doing business. You know what I mean? And I think that that's where it gets. And then once again, it introduces complexities. It introduces systems that you look at and you go, oh man, like, I'm glad I got my MBA and I understand this, right? And I'm glad that I can, you know, really post about this on LinkedIn. Meanwhile, like, the dummy, which is me, is actually like just focusing on the profit. Like, where do I get money first? What do I do, right? So my thoughts, if you're looking to get an MBA, I don't think there's no value to it. I think education is important, but I do think that you should heavily focus on getting experience because the beatdown that you're going to get with actually doing a business is something that the MBA just will not provide. You'll still stress, but not in the same way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I remember every course that was taught by the business people that were coming in to teach a course that were still actively running a business were always my favorite in school. I can remember exactly what those classes were and who the people that were teaching them. I can't say I remember a ton of the other ones because they were the ones that had the real practical experience. They forced you to solve the real problems while you were sitting there. Everything in those classes was a lot more gray and a lot less black and white, which I appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, you can tell when somebody's coming from experience, right? Yeah. I mean, you've got a business now. When you first started, you probably thought, man, if I ask a client for $10,000, that's a lot of money.
Oh, right? My gosh. Yeah.
And I'm so scared to ask for $10,000. And, you know, now you can probably ask for $1 million and be like, yeah, because I'm providing that value, right? And when you actually have that from an MBA and you come in and you're like, okay, well, this is just how the system works versus this is the value that I'm providing. You believe it instinctually. It's a different kind of people believe you. And that's where it kind of, people think like, hey man, I have the same like 24 hours in the day as this guy. Why can't I do what this guy's doing? And it's just, a lot of it is just instinctual and you just won't get it until you go through the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I have two wrap up questions for you.
Yeah.
first is, what is one rule of business that everyone thinks is smart that you hope the next generation completely ignores?
Ooh, there are so many.
Okay, well, name them. Let's go.
You know, I will have to say it's that I think one rule that everybody, like my first rule that I always say is like, you know, people think I have to perfect the product and I have to run it with, I'm too scared to charge the customer now because we're still in beta phase, right? And when they're waiting for it, you can simply say, you know, hey, I can put you on and I can still charge you, but, and sometimes you can even charge more for early access. So I think the one rule that they really forget is perfecting the product before selling it, just throwing it into beta mode or whatever it may be, and just like giving it out for free. You should be selling since day one. Day one, you should be saying as if your product's already built. And trust me, that is like it's the best feeling ever when you have customers even before you launch.
Yeah, forget that word free. I think so many people undervalue themselves. It is crazy. Whenever someone says yes right away to a price that I threw out, and I'm like, man, should have said more.
Exactly it. When you're negotiating and you know, you says, you know, I'm selling this for 150, you're like 125. They're like, done. You're like, wait a second. Wait, why did you agree so easily?
Yeah. Okay. Last question. If someone listening today feels stuck, they are overthinking, or they feel like they're wading through complexity, how should they start thinking about simplifying and moving forward?
Keep asking questions. To simplify is keep asking questions, you know, and the simplest question is, how can I get to profit first, right? Like a lot of people, they think that, you know, the top line, the revenue is what I need to get to. Forget that. Just focus on profit. And if you're really, really stuck, I always say this, keep doing something different until it works. But one of my companies, Limitless Tire, they, you know, we're now the largest rim and tire retailer in Canada. They were struggling. They were at a point where they're like, we don't know what to do. There are way too many tire and rim shops, not enough customers. And their marketing guy, Faisal, he's a very smart dude. And he just said, you know what? Like, we've got our last like 40 grand. I'm just going to spend it on a bunch of stuff and see what happens. Right. And he just, the one thing he didn't do is he didn't spend it all on like bus ads or Instagram ads. He just kept doing something different until one thing, you know, worked a little bit. He tried a little bit more. Oh, it stopped working here. Let's try this. It's working a little bit here. And he kept going until it worked. So if you ever feel stuck, just try something different. Now, don't abandon your project. I don't mean like, you know, abandon your business, you know.
We're done. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. And so just a lot of people do that. They leapfrog from businesses. And I'm guilty of that too. I'm part of 24 different businesses. I've been known to like, oh yeah, you know, let's focus on this. Let's focus on that. But it's like, your goal is to make your business succeed, right? Keep trying different things to make it succeed. Right? Your goal is to get to profit first. Keep trying different things until you get to profit first. Business is very, very difficult, but once you figure it out, it's the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I feel like you gave a lot of really practical advice today, and that is what we're all about here. None of the fluff, none of the BS, super, super practical advice. So for everyone listening, share this episode with one person that needs to hear these messages today, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.